Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
All right, everybody. Praise the Lord. We are going to minister to you in a little bit. Lots of powerful stuff. This is a time of war, and we must take charge. My grandson, Ethan, come on up, Brother Ethan. He's going to minister to you for a little bit before I do. He's a mighty man of God. He has been reading through the Bible every year since he was 5 years old. He knows the Word of God. He's very anointed, very gifted. I'm highly, 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 highly proud of him. I love him so much. He has never given his parents a day of trouble that I know of, unless you know something, I don't know. But this is Ethan Fraser. He is the son of my oldest daughter, Bethany, and her husband, Andrew, which is an Australian. He talks real funny, and here he is. God bless.
Thank you, thank you. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Ethan. And like you said, my parents, Bethany and Andrew, we live in Guatemala, Casa Angelina, in the ministry that we all run there. So really is an honor to be able to share and be able to come here. It's really awesome. Alaska's beautiful. I'd like to share about a certain misconception or maybe a certain mentality that we have as Christians that can lead us astray sometimes. And I only have a short amount of time, so I'll try to go real quick, but here we go. So, if you guys can turn to 1 Corinthians 6:18, and what I really want to be talking about today, this morning, is this misconception that we need to be servants before we are children of God, and or the idea of saying, as a believer, need to, you know, serve God first before you really come to terms that you are a child of God. And because it's a big, very, very big difference. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And I mean, so many times Jesus has said, you know, me and my Father are one. I am doing my Father's bidding. He was a son first. Jesus was a son first before he was a servant to his Father, before he served his Father. He was a son to his Father first. And the important thing is that four points. First point is danger of having the mentality that you are a servant before you are a son, or putting your service higher than being a son or daughter of God, is that your service can be corrupted. And what really happens is that, well, think of it like this: a servant is paid based on the success of that servant. Servants, you know, if a servant doesn't clean well, or the success, or what that servant does, if it's not up to standards to what the master wants, or if it's not exactly what the master wants, well then, how is he going to find that reward? How is he going to get paid well? But a child is rewarded. See the difference between paid and rewarded? Child is rewarded based on his willingness to obey. God is not interested in numbers. It doesn't matter if you've saved one person or 1,000 people. It's whether you said yes or no. Did you say yes or no? Not as a servant saying, I need to do this because I need to get paid. I need to go to heaven. I need this, you know? And if you do it, and then you're saying, okay, Lord, I did all this. Where's my reward? Like, where's my payment? You owe me now for my service. You owe me for my work. But instead, if you come at it as a child, saying, God, I am willing to obey you, Not because, but because you're protecting me, because you already do so much for me. I owe you so much as a father. I, as a child, owe you so much. And that is what, that's the mentality that we need to have. Because if you continue on as a servant, you're going to say, God is in my debt because I saved one person, or God is in my debt because I stopped all these things in my life. And I was doing yes, this, this, and that. And I went to church every day, every week, and God is in my debt. He needs to reward me in some way. Where's my blessings? I don't see them. Rather, God rewarding you for your willingness, rewarding you for your obedience, not based on your success. Don't feel, I'm not doing enough. If you're saying yes, that is enough. Second thing is, if you see yourself as a servant, you forget how the rights that you have as a son. John 1:12 says, "But as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become children of God, that is, to those who believe in his name." He gave the authority to become children of God. A servant has no rights in his master's house. There is no rights. If I have his anointing, because we're in the same bloodline. If I was his servant, I don't have any of that anointing. But I am his blood. Jesus is your blood. The Father is your blood. You own these rights. And so then what does this mean? It means that you walk into God's presence with confidence, not condemnation, with confidence. You're going into your parents' bedroom to ask them for something. It's confidence. It's like a little kid. You also have the responsibility to represent God to this world. It is on you to represent God in a manner worthy of his sacrifice for you. And you have his full and complete attention. He's not busy with other work. You are his first and most primary responsibility as his child. And as his child, your inheritance is his victory over the devil. And that's where we see in James 4:7, where it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee for you." A servant can't do that. A servant can't do that. But a prince, a princess of the kingdom can. So own your rights as a child of God, not as a servant, as a child of God. Serve God out of obedience. Third point, you can't reach your full potential as a servant. You can only reach your full potential as a child. John 13:16 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." A master's actions, say again that same situation. If I am a servant of Ivan Tate's work is my ceiling. I can't go higher than that. But as his grandchild, as his blood, he is the stage. What he does is the stage that I stand on. And what he has forged for me is the starting point. It's not my ceiling. The Bible is not your ceiling. It is the platform. We are supposed to do greater things than what is written in the Bible. Not as a form of we are greater than what has happened before, but because they've forged the way. The Bible's not here, it's here. It's what we're standing on. It's the rock, Jesus. Jesus is not our ceiling. Jesus is the rock that we stand on it and stand up higher. We do, as a body of Christ, we do greater things than even he has done as a body. So don't be afraid. And I can't do the things, you know, that fear of like, oh, you know, the Bible is, you know, so many great things in the Bible. No, you are a child of God. Own that. That is what your family before you has done, what you read in the Bible. Now it's our turn to do greater things even than that. And as a child, you won't run from God. A servant who fails will run from his master, but a child who falls down will run to his father. If a servant fails, you'll run away. Run to God. You're his child. Run to God. When you feel the conviction, run to him as a child, because he loves you. He's given everything for you. We have his full and undivided attention. I want to leave you with that. Thank you.
Oh, man. That was awesome. Woo! Well, all I've got's yours. That's all I can say. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, everybody. Part two of this morning, and this again will continue tonight, and then again on Wednesday night, three parts. We begin with this statement: we are in a time of war. We are not in a time of peace in the United States of America. We're not at peace politically. We're not at peace spiritually. We're not at peace financially. We're not at peace in our homes, our families, our children, our parents. We are in a time of war. If you, as a believer, do not recognize that you're in war, and if you think you're in peace, you're going to have everything stolen from you and taken away from you. You will end up with nothing because you did not recognize that the enemy is breaking into your house and he's coming in there to take your children, to take your treasures, and to take anything of value from you. If in a time of war you decide to take a vacation, when you get back, your house will be burned to the ground. This is a time to stand up and start fighting. But you cannot fight an enemy that you are not superior to in skill, in weapons, in strategy, and in strength. You must understand how to get that. You must understand what your weapons are. You must understand the skills and fighting techniques of your enemy. You must know who your enemies are. You must also know how to use your spiritual God-given weapons to destroy those enemies. Once you have this knowledge, then you can fight intelligently with skill and with predictable outcomes. You can determine what the outcome of the battle is going to be in that area of your life. You can guarantee the results because you know that you're more skilled in fighting than your enemy is. You're stronger than your enemy is, and your weapons are superior to the weapons that your enemy is going to try to use on you. You've got to decide not to partner with your enemy to destroy your own house. You've got to find out if you're partnering with him. You've got to find out if actually, not only are you partnering with him, you're actually using his weapons to destroy your own house. This is not a time of relaxing. This is a time of war. Satan is not walking around the streets with another name. He is coming out fully naked and saying, I am the devil, come and follow me. And millions of people are following him in the church and out of the church. Hallelujah. King David, the Bible says, went out, stayed home when it was a time when kings go to war. And it says that King David decided to stay home instead of go fight. When you stay home, instead of going to war, the devil will sow a seed and bring you a Bathsheba to seduce you out of his plan for your life. Bathsheba is not a woman. Bathsheba is a temptation. For you, Bathsheba can be Bud Light. For the person next to you, it can be a reefer. For the person next to you, it can be hating someone. For the person next to you, it could be feeling sorry for themselves. For the person sitting next to you, it could be having an affair. For the person sitting next to them, it could be eating themselves to death. For the person next to them, it could be being so hurt that you never want to talk to another human being as long as you live, and you want to go live out in the woods by yourself until you drop dead. Either way, Satan has won, because you have not fulfilled your destiny. You have not become the man God wants you to be, the woman God wants you to be, the soldier God wants you to be, the warrior God wants you to be. And sooner or later, you've got to put your foot down if you're going to protect your family and protect your children. Sooner or later, and the devil is shooting bullets into your house. At some point, you get up off the ground and find your Gatling gun and blow everything out that's over there. Blow out the trees, blow out the truck, blow out the people, blow out everything. But if you take a passive attitude, number one, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there would be no America.
That's right.
If the soldiers of World War I and World War II and any other justifiable wars did not go and risk their lives for all of us, no soldier that has been disabled in this country should ever have to pay another penny of anything. They should not pay taxes. They should not have debt. They should not have bills. They should not have worries. They should not have fears. They should have every department available to them at a beckoning call, at a phone call. They should have the best doctors. They should have the best hospital. They should not have to wait for 1 minute or for 1 second. They are the men of war. They are the women of war that have paid a price for you to call yourself a free American that can say whatever you want. You can act any way you want. You can choose God, forsake God, love God, hate God, love the devil, walk around naked, do whatever you want. The church must go to war now. You're not going to keep your family intact if you don't fight for it. Your marriage is going to fall apart for some of you. Some of you, you're too old. It's too tiring to get divorced. So you're just going to stay together till you die. But for some of you, you're still young. You still have these dreams of being happy. And Satan has convinced you that happiness is being married to the right man. You have lost your ever-loving mind. There is no man that can make you happy as a woman. I'm sorry, that's actually not promised to you in the Bible. There's no promise in the Bible. I will give you the perfect man, and he will know all your needs. He will know them before you say them. He will just walk in the door and look at you and know everything you need. He'll know when to attack you like Tarzan and when to sit back and just talk for 3 hours about nothing and go from subject to subject that is totally meaningless, but that is so personally gratifying to you that you just get to talk and say 150,000 words in one sitting. But it's a need you have as a woman. We know this scientifically, that women have a basic biological need to speak 25,000 words a day. It doesn't go away if they don't get to say those words. It piles on to the next day. It's like 25 and then they're gone. No, 25 becomes 50. 50 becomes 70 and 150. And So if it's a whole week of a woman not talking or staying in a cabin up in the woods, when you get home to that woman after 3 weeks, man, you better believe, you better sit down for a few hours. Tell me everything, honey. And you can't listen like a moron. You got to touch her when she's talking. You got to listen. She's got to feel like you're in there. And of course, you think you're the exception to all women as a woman. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need to talk. Really? War. We're in it. Will you lose your children? Will you lose your grandchildren? Will you lose your marriage? Will you lose your health? Will you lose your business? Will you lose your destiny? Do you even care? These are the questions of the day. These are the things that must be answered. And these are the things that churches who have their ear to the heart of God are beginning to say. That you must be trained in warfare. You must be weaponized with weapons Satan doesn't know how to defeat. You must become extremely skilled in hand-to-hand combat against every one of his soldiers. You must learn how to break necks, legs, arms, throats, backs. You must learn how to disembowel them. You must learn how to take the throat out. You must learn how to pull their eyes out. You must learn how to break their neck and decapitate them. You must learn how to kill without mercy. You must become an assassin in the kingdom of God and destroy all reefers, all Bud Light, all liquor, all adultery, all pornography, all fornication, all arguing, all contention, all depression, all suicidal thoughts, all suicidal tendings, all jealousy, all envy, all pride, all vanity. You must decide. I'm going to stand up. It's not going to get to my grandchildren. It's not going to get to my children. The war ends here. I put my feet down and I declare, I will not drink. I break the power of those curses. They will not pass on. Or you can pull out the Bud Light on the way home and take your reefer and say, that was a beautiful message, Pastor. I got 7 revelations for everything you were saying. Because when Jesus is not enough, you need help. You got to have a little Bud Light just to make it through. Got to have a reefer or two. Because Jesus is not enough. Oh, you got to have a little pornography because Jesus is not enough. Well, you got to have a little sex on the side because Jesus is not enough. Well, you got to hate a few people because Jesus is not enough. Well, you got to be jealous and judgmental and critical in church of everybody around because they're not as holy as you are because Jesus is not enough. Or you can go to war and say, I inherited that garbage and I want to get rid of it. I choose Jesus and I choose the DNA of the Lamb of God. Can everybody shout a little bit and praise him for a few seconds? Lift up your voice in church and say, I will not lose this war. Come on, everybody, say it. I will not lose this war. You may say, well, I'm too old. I'm not really involved in anything. Then fight for your children or your grandchildren, because surely you love your grandchildren. Who doesn't love their grandchildren? Is there any grandparents here? Let me see your hands. I'm just asking you, grandparents, are you like me? If one of your grandchildren, pick either one of these boys, were standing there and a lion was coming down the way to eat him, I would jump off this thing. I would jump inside the mouth of the lion. I would let it chew on me while they escape. Because when you love a thing, it's not a sacrifice to sacrifice for a thing. Once you love it, and this is war, this is a battle, this is a weapon, this is what you've got to use, and you got to learn what your weapons are. We will learn 9 weapons tonight and 9 weapons on Wednesday, and we're going to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's getting saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and delivered by the power of Jesus. Glory to God. Maybe steps right here, but I'm just saying, What have you lost, my brothers? What have you lost, my sisters? And who stole it from you? What did they take without your permission? What made you so hard-hearted and so distrusting? It's because you're an orphan. Sure, you had parents, but they didn't know how to parent you, so you still feel like an orphan. Only Jesus can fix things. It's a time of war. Not a time to watch TV. Not a time to just eat and sleep. It's a time to get educated in your warfare weapons. Learn the skills that are going to get you victory in your marriage. Learn what weapons you can use against everything that is challenging you in your life. Hallelujah. Say it out loud three times. We win.
We win.
We will win.
We will win.
We are winning.
We are winning.
The battle is over. I'm just going to exercise my authority and win everything. Hug someone next to you and say, praise God. You're going to pay off my house. You're going to pay off my car. And you're going to pay off my children. Everybody say it together. Amen. We start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Though we live in the flesh, we don't walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, ready to bring every thought into captivity and ready to punish all forms of disobedience in our life. Our weapons are not carnal. They're supernatural. But do you know what the weapons are? There's over 34 of them. I'm going to give you 18. Every weapon is designed to kill an enemy. So every weapon you learn and know how to use gives you another area of victory in your life. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I will not lose any more children. I will not lose any more grandchildren. I will not lose my marriage, my business, my health, my finances, or my joy. The reason some of you do not have victory is because you are selfish Christians. Selfish Christianity means that you do not walk with God so that you can become skilled in helping people. You walk with God so you can get your free stuff. You're a Christian because you want to go to heaven. You're a Christian because you want to prosper. You're a Christian because you want to be healthy. You're a Christian because you want to have peace. You're a Christian because you want to have joy. But you're not a Christian that is a true Christian who actually is alive to get people out of hell. They don't want anybody to burn in hell, especially their mother or their father or their children. They are here to rescue people. They are here to rescue orphans, to take care of widows, to take care of the poor. They are here to build up the local church. They are here to win souls everywhere. They're not here to serve themselves and be selfish. They bring a Bible when they come to church because they believe they need to change and that God has an answer for them and He's going to tell them how to change. They don't come to church to enjoy the music and get good feelings from the songs. That's selfish. It's like being a drug addict. You just switch drugs from cocaine to holy cane. Now your high is Christian music, when really Christian music's purpose is to unlock the face of God, to become one with God so that His powers can flow through you to help the people that will cross your path and for you to become the most powerful weapon in the hands of God that has ever walked the face of the earth. Every one of you should want that. Give somebody a high five and say, how much money do you have? Husbands, would you look at your wives and put your arms around them? Look at their face. Look at their face. Ready? You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Don't sing to me. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. One more time, man. Look at them. Act like you love your wife. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Touch their cheek. You make me happy when skies are gray. Move in. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Right on the face. Please don't take my sunshine away. Hallelujah. Women, put your hands on your husband's chest. Look at them and say, I really mean this. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Clap your hands. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Whoa, 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 whoa. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. The last verse. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. Send me to Hawaii, honey. You don't have to go. Whoa, whoa. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. What are the arenas of war? Because these are the battles that you're going to have to fight. The number one arena is called DNA. DNA in the Bible is your old man. It is called the Adamic nature. It is called the flesh. This is who you are based on 500 to 700 years of arbitrary mixing of DNA and gene pools from hundreds and possibly thousands of individuals that left you who you are with 400 specific traits from people you do not know. None of you asked to be bald-headed, but there you are. None of you asked to have teeth that are like a train wreck and have given you trouble your whole life. None of you asked to walk by food and gain 5 pounds. None of you asked to be crazy, but there you are, nutty as a fruitcake. Turn to somebody and say, nutty as a fruitcake. None of you asked for that second toe to be longer than the big toe, 2 or 3 inches out there, one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. You need to take an axe and cut that thing off. Please, have mercy on our soul. Long necks, no necks. Giant lips, no lips. Long noses, no nose. Squinty eyes, gigantic eyes. Did you ask for these things? Did you kneel down and pray to God and say, give me the biggest ears you've got? I want the wind to pick me up because I want to fly. What about your attitude? Where do you think that came from? You think you're just naturally a jerk? No. There are other jerks that had your genes before you had them, and they were jerking people around hundreds of years before you. What about liars? You think you're just a liar by accident? No, you have genes in there that have been lying for thousands of years. Why in the world do you want to chase every woman you see? Because your genes do. Why do you want to kill people? Because your genes do. They already killed people before you. They just want you to copy them. Every desire you have, every urge you have, is already pre-packed and pre-programmed in your genetic profile. And unless you find a weapon that can overcome that, you will be defeated your entire life. Because brother and sister, if you haven't heard, Christianity is not like your DNA. You cannot actually be a Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit, because you are too weak in your genetic makeup. You don't think of killing people every day by accident. It's in your genes. It's not an accident that some of you could be assassins and not lose any sleep over killing children. It's in your DNA. You had assassins before you. They just gave you their DNA. Now you can kill everybody. That's why some of you think about raping people every day, because it's in your DNA. And if you did it, you would become one. But does every person who has crazy DNA yield to it? Then why do all the people have to say, this is how I was born? We're all born crazy. There's not anybody that's not born crazy. I have crazy desires, but I don't give in to them. Why? I don't want to go to prison. I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren. If I kill everybody, I'm going to jail. So no, I'm not going to kill people. It's not that I don't want to. I want to kill everybody sometimes. No. I hate people daily. But why don't I give in to it? Instead, I fall on my knees and say, God, take this evil out of me. I don't want Satan to be my pastor, because I don't want to be like the devil. I want to feed my divine nature, my godly DNA. Look at somebody and say, snap out of it. Don't hate yourself because you're fat. Your DNA is fat. It's not your fault. You could have been like the person next to you who got skinny DNA. They can eat a house and lose weight. They can eat a cow and lose 3 pounds. Oh God, can I have that one? Please. Look at somebody, shake their hands and say, are you crazy? It's okay. Because the worst basket case ends up with the biggest ministry. That's why there's no self-pity in Christianity and there's no crying in baseball. That's why. We're going to have church tonight. We're going to have an impartation of 9 weapons. We're going to flow in the gifts of miracles and healing and deliverance. And the power of God is going to show up. Don't stay home and watch TV because your DNA likes football. You determine who you're going to become by what you expose yourself to. And what has the TV done for you so far? How has football improved your marriage? How has it made you a better man of God or a better servant of God? No, it's just your selfish DNA. You're just selfish, and you like to sit on the couch with your feet up drinking a little Bud Light or lemonade. It's a time of war, brothers and sisters. This is not a time of peace. It's time to take back the territory that Satan stole from your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Why do you have to be broke? Why can't you be blessed? You can. You just got to know what to do. I'll go through the next quickly. Arenas of battle. You've got DNA. Then you've got the devil himself. Say it out loud. The devil is defeated. Hebrews 2:14, the devil is defeated. God is on the throne. Then you have demons. Well, some of you have demons with you. They're not in you if you're saved, but they're with you at your house, in your home, in your bedroom, in your kitchen. That's why the house is full of depression. That's why nobody laughs at the house. And that's why you have nightmares. Nightmares are the evidence of demons in your home. That's why some of you cuss at home at each other, because you have demons in the house and they help you cuss. They anoint you to cuss. That's when somebody tries to kill you on the highway, you don't say, God bless you, sir. You say, you son of a mother. And then you, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you have an anointing to cuss people out. And that's why some of you are meaner than a junkyard dog and you can't smile. Because your soul is twisted and tortured and unhealed. And you need a weapon that will fix that garbage on the inside. Don't be too proud of yourself because the only person you love is your wife or husband. That doesn't even mean you're a Christian. The mafia can do that. When you can love the people that hate you, now you have something. Raise your hand and say, don't ever quit. Keep on preaching. Day after day, we'll stay with you. Hours and hours and hours. I'm almost done. Look at someone next to you and say, I'll take whatever you got in your pocket. We have demons all over the house walking with you. Remember that if you pay for pornography, you're tithing to Satan. If you tithe to Satan, you give him authority to send demons to your children while they're sleeping in their beds. No 6-year-old should have sexual dreams. That's coming from somewhere. No 6-year-old should have nightmares. That's coming from somewhere. You're the parent. You're the wall. You got to stop them from coming through. They can't. So don't take pornography lightly because it's Satan's church. And if you tithe to him, you're a member. You're a member of whatever church you tithe to. And you're not a member of any church you don't tithe to. God doesn't want you to tithe, ladies and gentlemen, because he needs your money. No, he wants you to tithe so you won't need your money. Because once you don't need your money, he can give you his money. Hallelujah. Raise your right hand and say, wow, this is awesome. I'm about to have a victorious life. Praise the Lord. Then you have curses. Curses equal poverty. Everywhere you're poor, you're cursed. If you say, well, I can't love certain people, that's poverty. Well, I just don't feel joy or peace ever, that's poverty. Well, I just don't feel happy and satisfied, that's poverty. Well, I hate myself, that's poverty. That's the curse. Then you have the world. You have to battle the world. If you don't know how to defeat it, you'll be like the world. The world is telling you how to think, how to feel, how to believe, what God is like, what the Bible is like, what God is not like, and every other thing. Then you have circumstances. You have to learn how to overcome those. And then the most radical area of warfare is people. Turn to somebody and say, if there were no people, I would be the best Christian in the world. Come on, everybody, let's say it together. If there were no people, I would be the best Christian in the world. Amen? Then you have the mind, the will, and the emotions. Battlefields, battlefields, battlefields. Tonight, 9 weapons. Wednesday, 9 weapons. Plus personalized ministry to many, many, many people. Praise God. Look at 7 people and say, snap out of it. Brother, right here, would you stand up? Stretch your hands out to this man. I see axes, like an axe. One in the right hand, that's gold. I've never said this to any living human being. And one on the left one that's got blood on it. The gold weapon, it's an axe. Axes are used to cut down things. And the gold weapon is the divine nature of God that God is going to develop in you to cut out roots. Wrong roots of people. The divine axe It will cut right through it and separate people from their bad roots. The second axe has blood on it because this is the act of living war. This axe God just put in your hands this morning. It's already bloody because even while you were sitting there, you were already doing war. And there was a big principality over your family tree that just lost its head this morning. Over your family tree, the head was cut off. Principalities that have been there for generations are now severed. Two more blessings. Number one, whatever you touch will prosper and succeed. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. And the second thing, you will never be offended at the cruelty of people towards you. And because of that, you will live long, last out through this battle, and die an old man full of the blessings of Almighty God. This will pass down to every generation in your family tree after you. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you praise him a little bit and shout the name of Jesus? Say, what a God we serve. Put on my music, close your eyes for a moment, and let's remember why we're here. You heard a beautiful message from Ethan Fraser, my grandson. He'll be here, of course, tonight with me again. You are now making a choice. The choice is this: will I go to war or will I be AWOL? Will I be missing in action for my own family? Can my children depend on my prayers? Can my children depend on my holiness to protect them from the evils that Satan is throwing out there of alcohol, of drugs, of hate? Can they trust and depend on me? Or will I be a partner of Satan in helping destroy them, putting temptation on their way that they should never have had? Will I bring in the spirits of perversion into my house? Or will I be a soldier and a warrior as a woman and stand over my family and declare, Satan, you cannot have my family. You cannot have my children. You cannot take anybody related to me by blood to hell. Everyone related to me by blood is going to go to heaven. Here's my all and I don't want it back. Like a fragrance broken on the floor. Or will I ignore the preacher? May my worship be pure. Will I ignore the preacher? Find me like a child of. Will I ignore the word of God coming my way? Because the world has already conquered and seduced me. Or will this coming year be the greatest year of my life? You have come here today, some by choice, some by joy. Some of you by threat and force. And some of you by accident. But make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this is a divine appointment between you and God. You are now in a place where you must make a decision. May my worship be pure. Are you 100% sure, without any doubt whatsoever, that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Are you able to be honest enough with yourself to say, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven? Are you honest enough to be able to say, I'm not sure? I'm not 100% sure that if I died right now, I would go to heaven? Are you able to be honest enough with yourself and be intelligent and realize that risking eternity is the action of ignorant people? If you sit there and you say, I want to go to heaven when I die, I want Jesus in my heart, I want to know that I know that I know that if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. If that's you, if you want God to do that, all I'm going to ask you to do right now, right there where you're sitting, if you want God to give you that peace that cannot be bought anywhere, if you want that, all I want you to do right now, right where you're at, is lift your hand right now high enough for me to see, and then I'm going to pray for you. Oh my gosh. Look at all the hands going up right now, Lord, everywhere. Stretch them out where God can see them, and don't be ashamed. Just lift them up. Say, I need that in my life. Oh my gosh. God is watching. If you lifted your hand, would you stand to your feet right there where you're at so I can pray for you right now? Stand up to your feet publicly. As the Bible says, Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me in public, if you're not ashamed of me in public, I will not be ashamed of you in front of my Father. But if you are ashamed of me in front of people, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. This is no joke. This is real. Those of you that are sitting, I would like you to do this. Ask everyone around you, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? If someone says to you, I don't know, would you offer to stand up with them right there? Just say, I'll stand up with you, because this is too important to treat lightly. Thank you. Go ahead and ask. Thank you. It's too serious to treat lightly. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, it's Satan's job to make Christianity a joke. You got to keep playing that because that helps me. I'm just waiting a little bit. I want to make sure everyone gets to make a wise choice. Would all of you look at me that are standing up? May I have your permission to lead you in a prayer? If I do, would you wave your hand at me? May I do that? Also, I will not embarrass you or make you say anything to anyone, but I would like to look into your eyes. If I may do that, would you do a favor for me and get out of your seats? Just walk up here really quick. Please give them a hand as they come up here. Come up here to the front and let me look at your face while I pray with you. I want you to clap like your mother's coming up here. God is watching. God is watching. Come on, everybody. God is watching. God is watching. You know, if this was your son or your father or your mother or your daughter, how would you feel? Thousands of people are coming to Jesus every week. Some are saved and they're getting rid of doubts, and some are crossing the bridge for the first time. But whatever the case may be, may I tell you two things that are about to happen to you. One, you're about to be forgiven for everything you have ever done, whether you deserve it or not. And the second thing is, God will forget you did it. That's called divine forgiveness. Not only does God forgive you for what you did, He erases it from His memory. And some of you are going to need that when you talk to God. You're going to need to know when you look at Him, He doesn't know what you did. Because one of the reasons people don't talk to God is guilt and shame. You will have no guilt. You will have no shame. It's all being taken away. For this to work, you are going to have to forgive the people that damaged you. The ones that molested you, the ones that beat you, and the ones that left you. And you're going to have to forgive yourself. Give yourself a break. You are not perfect. Let God come inside and give you power to be different than the DNA you inherited. May I ask this last time? I believe there's 7 more people, at least. You did not raise your hand and you're not up here. But you know that you're not sure you're going to heaven. I'm just asking you, if you know that's you, trust God for a minute and see how He changes your heart. If that's you, I want to invite you to come up right now. I am waiting because you are worth that wait. If that's you, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for it. Just move up here as far up as you can because we got people coming in. Just move up. I'm not going to do anything at all. So I think that was 3 people maybe. 3 out of 7 people. And it's all about you. I'm just waiting. Just waiting. Just to honor you. Like a fragrance broken on the floor. Would you all stretch your hands towards any individual that you know? If you don't know, pick one. Church is at 6 o'clock tonight. Is that right, Pastor Karen? Yeah, 6 o'clock. Come to church. It's too important. Guarantee the results of your future. You all ready to pray together? Everybody together, say, Dear God in heaven, I want to repent for serving the devil, for serving myself, and for anybody I've ever hurt. I turn my back on Satan, his plan for my life, and this world. Teach me to be your child and to walk with you. I forgive everyone that damaged me in my life. And I forgive myself. Now, dear God, would you wash me clean with your holy blood? Let it wash away the uncleanness of my life. Come and live in my heart and stay there forever. Even though I don't deserve it, thank you for making it possible. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I'm yours from this day forward. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.